grain of rice. A grain of rice. To tip the scale. Just remember that.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
Right home of my childhood, there's no place like thee. Thy mountains and wild wood, thy vale and thy lea. And no matter wherever I'm bound for to roam, I will never forget you, Templederry, my home.
Templederry are the county champions. What a day for Templederry Kenyans. What a day for Garode Ryan to lead them to glory here. Heartbroken, killing all out in the field, shake their hand, but hats off to Templederry Kenyans. They are the champions of Tipperary Orien Cup winners 2021.
There's only one story in town today, Larry, and you don't care about that.
What's going on there?
That was a B final or something down in Tipperary.
They're
green and white, I think, aren't they?
Yeah, green and white. I see that. Before we start, we actually have another story. I want to thank all the listeners for contributing to Delo's improved Wi-Fi. We set up a page there, right? Just an emergency appeal to get the Wi-Fi going. I see Landers threw in 50 quid there plus spinning the Queen. We had a lot of contributors. So for all our listeners, our belief is that Delo's Wi-Fi will be much better today. So a huge thank you from all the team.
TJ, I hadn't spotted that. No, I don't know how I missed that, but no, you didn't tag me on anything, of course. Yeah, we had a visit.
We're up and running, right?
Yeah, we had a visit from Rafe last week. So down the pub, even though the pub has been taken apart as we speak, with upholstery people and painters and electricians and everything, we're closed for a few days to do. We had a big job done out the back for the summer, so.
You're reducing taxes, Dale. Is that what you're doing?
You're
throwing the profit into something, huh? I like it, Dale.
Well, you have to speculate to accumulate, Marco. You know yourself. You're at horse sales again today, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I'm in the car.
You buying or selling today? I'm
covering the country there now today because we've three days left for the self-employed fellas to get their own money into the pension before the end of the year. So everything is happening over the next 3 days. I see you're well clad today now. You have a jacket on. You must have an important meeting yourself.
Yeah. I'm up in court tomorrow, so I said I'd get dressed today. getting the license sorted out because obviously the place leased. So I don't need a term license. So try and get the full license back tomorrow. Hopefully the judge is nice to me and all that. That's where all the work is going on today. We'll get the fire officer happy with all the certs and all that, but anyway.
Good man.
Oh, y'all, you're welcome. Delighted to be joined by Ken. How's things, Ken?
Great, Delo. Great. Savage weekend of sport and brilliant weather as well. Hard to believe there's lads going around in their short sleeves in the middle of November in Simple Stadium yesterday, sitting down, not a care in the world, loving the game.
You to open the old stand side, Ken, had you? Because people, I couldn't see hardly across the field and in us either with the sun baiting across on us, and I go over with the great one washed at the far side. Like, I wouldn't be a man for the VIP.
Yeah, great place to watch the game.
You wouldn't let me in anyway.
I was often there myself with the great one washed, but no, they opened the stands at the end of the Orien final. They opened both gates at both ends, and I think the sun was so low that people found it very hard to see the game. So they all came across to the old stand, as we call it, the Canaan stand, but it was absolutely fantastic. Great atmosphere there yesterday. People in the best of form. Two great finals, by the way. You know, Larry's beloved Templederry Kenyans beating Killinall in the Orien Cup final, the Senior B final. And then, of course, what an epic game we had in Turles in the Senior game.
Yeah, and I was hoping to catch maybe most of the second half of it, Ken, but in Ennis, as normal, we hadn't enough turnstiles open, so the whole thing was delayed 15 minutes. Anyway, I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But I only got Marty Morrissey coming out the road, and he was nearly coming out through the microphone with the excitement down the stretch. And like Loughmore, just they're torturing themselves, aren't they, the whole time? But like, they've just went into week 16, I think, next week, and then 17 for the replay.
Week 16, and they're loving it, you know. And, you know, you saw Brian McGrath yesterday. He played with a broken hand. It wasn't a broken finger, by the way, lads. You know, it was actually a fracture under the thumb. And he arrived out of nowhere yesterday, obviously, with some sort of a hand guard or something on him. But he gave a fantastic display. The pride in the parish there is unbelievable. And I'm not taking away from Turles Sarsfields because they're a class outfit as well. But Loughmore Castellani looked to be dead and buried 8 points down. And the scores, lads, you know, I actually was doing the Templary game. Then I went down a bit in the stand to watch the game. Then I actually, like yourselves, I actually went down about six seats up, lads, down behind the subs, just to feel the atmosphere and to feel that the body challenges and the clash of the ash straight down in front of us. It was savage stuff in the second half, and some unbelievable performances on both sides. But John McGrath, again, for God's sake, lads, I don't know, did you see the pint he got? He got it out under the, just near the dugout there at the gate. Put it on his hurley. He never hopped the ball. It was rolling on his hurley. Ran in, pretended to hit it once off his right. They thought they had him hooked. Pretended to hit it off his left. Then went straight and actually threw it up in front of him and nabbed it over the bar from about 35 yards. Unbelievable score. I think every neutral and even at Turles Sarsfields would have applauded the score.
Mm. And John Maher, a great game as well, I believe, centre-back.
Ah, John Maher, what... The whole spirit of the group, you know, we talk about forwards, you know, and I know TJ's mentioned Jack Brown already, he'll talk about it later, but you talk about forwards, John Maher, like, unbelievable, under every dropping ball, flying across the pitch, the way he's able to cover the acreage across, and tremendous game, fantastic scores. Like, Dennis Maher had hit him with two sucker punches earlier on, one of the soft variety, one that he orchestrated himself, but Turles Sarsfields looked a class act, it looked like they were coasting, lads. Ronan and Paddy were just doing what they liked. Ronan was sort of operating a sweeping role. But in the second half, lads, the cracks began to appear in the Sarsfields rear guard. And Ronan was carrying a hamstring. It was obviously his hamstring was heavily strapped. He went back at full back to Mark Liam Tracy, who would be their ball winner there. And he was a guy that actually won that ball to throw to Liam McGrath for the equalising score. But amazingly, the drama at the end, you know, it unfolded again where the ball went out for a sideline, about 35 yards, with the 2 minutes up on the clock. And Conor Doyle, who did a tremendous job, Conor, I'd say, enjoyed the game as much as everybody else because fair play to him, absolute common sense, let the game flow. Michael Doyle's son, first father and son to referee county senior finals in Tipperary, and he blew the final whistle. His explanation was that the game obviously had gone dead and the time was up. But Noel McGrath had scored a point in the far side from a sideline in the very same position. So it was intriguing. He was surrounded by the Loughmore guys. They were just inquiring, why did he blow up the whistle? But I think he was within his rights to blow the game because the ball...
Yeah, I think so, Ken. I think he did a great job in the game. I suppose, before we specifically talk about Tipperary, I know I touched on GAA TV last week, right? I think that the weekend just gone is probably expressing the need for a little bit more. The three county finals I've seen, the Clare game, the Dublin game, the Tipperary game, in terms of excitement, entertainment, closeness, heart on the sleeve stuff from everybody, like in trying to win it. And I probably can maybe look at teams trying to win that first county title and how difficult it is to get over the line. But just the sport on view from the hurling club. You said before, we've nothing to fear with this fifth season, right? I was even going to ask a mad question in time, and we'll touch on it down the road, I'm sure. Is there a possibility that the club could even take over from the intercounty in time, where there's nearly more people kind of engrossed in it, and just that whole community and the game? It probably has so much more to go, whereas the county is probably nearly at the ceiling. I think the club game is nearly going to take off and just become more important. That's the first thing. Second thing is, the sport and TV over the weekend, we had grade one action in Punchestown, Delo, as you know. We had a beautiful
November
in Cheltenham. I saw the All Blacks and I saw the boys playing Luxembourg last night. My wife was probably going to think that was take root maybe over the 2 days. I saw so much sport. But the GAA was brilliant. The GAA was brilliant. And yesterday's game, I agree with Ken. When Dennis Maher got the two goals in the first half for Turles, it did kind of look a little bit ominous. There was a big threat inside. And I'd probably go as far as say, Ken, at the start of the second half there, you know, the short puck out that the fullback for Lockmore dropped, and then he got an absolute super block to stop him scoring the goal. That was probably the turning point from Lockmore. They kicked on from there. Like, you nearly go as far as say from their home, they were probably the better team. But it just goes to show about hurling, it's small things, right? To get back and make that block probably was the main reason that Lockmore stayed in the game, I think.
Go on, Mark.
I was thrown off on the couch, flicking between the channels and stuff like that. And Ken, I was shouting at the television to the referee to blow it up when he gone past the 62 minutes, because I actually thought there were going to be extra time. I was looking forward to an extra half an hour of hurling, to be honest. And then when it blew up at the 63rd minute, I saw the boys jawing, man. I know now you would be, but when they look back at the clock, like, the time was gone, and he probably should have, and there wasn't a whole pile of extra time to be paid after the 2 minutes. But, like, what an enthralling game, and what a club Lockmore are. And as you rightly said, don't take anything from Sal. But, like, you'd have to say about Lockmore for the last couple of years, being both county finals, to bring it down the stretch again, like, they're an incredible team. And, like, we mentioned John McGrath a good few times in the pod now over the last 6 months about why he wasn't on the Tipperary team. Surely there was a spot for him in the six forwards for Tipperary this year. But look, you know, a new manager next year. And, you know, John has responded in the fashion that you want any player as well that hasn't made the team. You want him playing at top level with his club and being his main man. And I think he's sending out a clear message to next year to Colin Bonner and his selectors that he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. County football final is fixed. Sorry, Dale. County football final is fixed for next Sunday. And in actual fact, Lockmore put it in a very, an amazing request last night. They asked the CCC to fix the hurling final for next weekend, the replay, and to put back to football a week to give an opportunity to play the hurling final. But I think, as far as I know, the CCC didn't agree. They're going ahead with the football final next weekend, which is tough going because all those guys now have to go into a situation of playing Clonmel commercials, change codes totally, get back into the football, and then try and prepare for the hurling again. Whereas Turris Arseals, Mark Dowling, you know, a very smart manager as well, Brendan Carnelletz, they have 2 weeks now to reform, regroup, and say, where did this go wrong, lads? Do we need to play the Billy McCarthy's and the Cahill Maloney's, the Dogs of War, get these guys in to the Lockmore Castellani situation? Because in the second half, as you mentioned, Turris were really on the rack. And Lockmore, Castellani were totally dominant in the middle third of the field.
Pa Burke was rolling back the years as well, I see, Ken, 5 points in play.
Oh, yeah, Pa, outstanding pair of hands, scored a massive point in the second half when they were looking for the ball. Pa was, you know, always such a raw talent, looks after himself very well, still in absolute, you know, great shape. But at the end of the day, you know, only for the major players in the Turles Arsenal set up, they were really on the ropes. Now, Billy McCarthy did come in. Cahill Maloney, who I had in Maynooth University, a great guy, an absolute warhorse. I think those guys must strongly consider including those guys in the team because of the talent spectrum in Turles. There's a lot of top-class players not getting into that 15, but they need to think about these guys now, particularly in November, particularly when it's squeaky bum time and when you have to put your bodies on the line. They will be considering these guys seriously, I think.
That request is interesting, isn't it? And they'd have needed Clonmel commercials probably to agree to put the match back a week, I suppose, you know, to have it to happen, would they? I presume Turles Arseals would probably take it on, would they? But like when you see what's happening in Galway with St. Thomas's and they're giving Gort the opportunity of playing the semi-final that they had kind of given up last week. So there's a lot of goodwill out there in the GAA, isn't there?
Yeah, but we know the deadlines for the Munster Hurling Club Championship. They had a full 4 weeks from yesterday. But I don't know the deadlines for the Football Championship in Munster Club. Whereas there's no Connacht Club Hurling Championship. So, I mean, if it goes on Christmas Day in Galway, we still have no club championship. A great gesture, in fairness, from St. Thomas's to give Gort the opportunity to get themselves together, you know?
Yeah, TJ, they released a statement. They released a statement. Thomas is just saying they had no problem, was it?
Yeah, they did. In fairness, I think the Galway County Board were putting a bit of a squeeze on Gort to say the semi-final had to be played. Gort were playing a similar card to the Tyrone card to say that they were shut down for 10 days, that they didn't have time to get prepared, which is very understandable, and that they wouldn't be in a position to fulfil the fixture. It looked like, as in the County Board, putting pressure on to play it, but then St. Thomas's came with the act of goodwill. To be fair to Thomas's, that's the way they are. They would much prefer to win the game. And I would say, in fairness to GAA clubs up and down the country, I think all these teams know, like, there is a general fair play out there and people want to win the game on the field. We saw that, in fairness, with Kerry in the football as well. I personally speaking, and knowing the St. Thomas's guys, there's no way they would want to win any game not on the field. That's just the way they are. And I think, in fairness, GAA people up and down the country are like that anyway. So the semi-final now, they're fixed for the Sunday coming. Well, I said not fixed yet, but it'll be on the Sunday coming with the county final the week after. So look, fair play, and I said, look, yeah, credit to St. Thomas's.
It's brilliant. Probably, and they'll understand the situation. It's probably tougher on Clarenbridge than anyone really. Do you know?
Yeah, exactly.
They're
going to be waiting for the final. Yeah, Ken, there was one other point, and again, it's not for today really, but the hand pass. Right, like definitely in the games that I saw, but definitely in Thurles yesterday, a couple of guys coming out. Like there was a couple of times it was blown. Once I thought maybe harsh enough in the first half, but it's getting very hard. I don't know, even hitting into the inter-county game, how a referee is going to be able to decipher what is a legitimate hand pass and what's not going forward. It's going to be very, very tricky. The speed of the hand, the speed of the player.
Yeah, it's very tricky. I felt there were legitimate hand passes. Now the hand pass, as Conor Donovan, my former teammate, you know, he's exploring the idea of changing the hands, that the ball should be hand passed off the other hand. And that has gone to Central Council. He has been in talks with Tom Ryan. In fairness, he feels the integrity of the game is being disrupted by the fact that the hand pass is not a clear hand pass. And he has, but from we suffered as a result. We were relegated on Saturday. It's a huge game. It's a huge game. And we got caught for three hand passes when we were in full flow down the pitch. Hugely frustrating. Also, the puck outs as well. When is a puck out a puck out, and when is not a puck out? On Saturday, every puck out was blown back. Yesterday, Conor Doyle, the puck outs were flying, and it was great to see the flow of the game. The integrity of the game has to be brought into question. Conor Doyle is a very sharp referee. He played hurling himself. He knows what it's about. He did pull for one hand pass, but I think in the future, there's probably going to be a special Congress. The hand pass thing has to be addressed. So from everybody's point of view, I suppose, we've got to think of the integrity of the game. But I thought yesterday, obviously, sometimes the poor guy that gives the hand pass, like we see it at inter-county level, the game is so fast, the ball is fine. No referee pulls for an illegal hand pass. But in club hurling, the poor old club player gets caught, you know, particularly when you're in full flow.
And that was the other thing in Ennis, Dinkin, Johnny Healy, very good game referee. Now, I thought, you know, I was afraid there that he was going to drag a hamstring with all the warming up he was doing with the extra 15 minutes. But his thing nearly yesterday, I don't think he blew for any illegal hand pass. He blew for steps a lot. But I wouldn't say in any case there was quibbles in the crowd. Like maybe that quibble was the man in possession being fouled. But there was no doubt that he did take too many steps at times. It's funny the little things that some refs focus on that you know.
Yeah, Conor Dyle contributed hugely to our game, and TJ, I'd say, would acknowledge that. Conor Dyle contributes hugely to an outstanding game. I mean, the ref, some refs tend to be over fussy. We know that. That's their human nature. It's human nature. It's not that they mean to be, but Conor Dyle is nonplussed, cool man. And at the top level, you're going to get the top referees. We had that yesterday. But then when you're struggling to get on and move on, you're going to have a situation where there's going to be frustration decisions probably. And I think overall, like as you said, there was very little quibbles in the crowd from Johnny Healy. And there was absolutely no quibbles in the senior game yesterday.
Yeah, but to go back to what you're saying, Ken, about the puck outs, I said the hand pass and the puck outs are two significant parts of the game, right? So at this moment, you can go to some referees where on a wide ball, they will allow the puck out straight away, right? And that is allowed in the game at the moment, but there is an asterisk in there at the referee's discretion. So some referees will pull it back and some referees will let it off. So that piece just needs to be nailed down and just make sure it's the same across the board in club and county. The hand
which
pass,
which is not, TJ, it's not at the moment. every referee is different. Everyone,
correct.
One referee lets them book it out, the other referee doesn't. You know, I mean,
it's yeah. So and in Cork TJ, you must wait for the referee to blow the whistle before you're allowed to take the puck out.
Yeah. Like, well, as I said, it just needs fixing. But I do agree with Ken here. Conor Doyle yesterday, it was an unbelievable game, end to end, letting it flow. Like, you could nearly feel that this guy played the game before because you could just he just understood it. He left tackles go. It was just a brilliant game to watch. Brilliant entertainment, yeah. And as I said, the referee is important.
Mm. And, yeah, we often give out about him. We praise him as well. I suppose, you know, that's I mean, the two... you only saw the bit of on the news now of the tip final, but obviously Conor Doyle, good game, and you hate seeing the refs around it at the final whistle, but I suppose the Lochmore boys knew that they had a weapon in Noel that he possibly could have nailed it, and that would have been it, you know. But
and to be fair, it was only a conversation. They were only asking why.
No,
that's all. Yeah. There was everybody was smiling coming off the pitch. In fairness, and
yeah.
Lochmore Castanet were quite entitled to ask as well, you know.
Ken, what kind of a crowd was there, Ken?
The official attendance was 6,700. Now, that doesn't include, obviously, under-16s. Under-16s were obviously in free. And as you know, in Tipperary and maybe in other counties, well, under-16 can be taken to a a new age from that point of view. But there seemed like both stands were pretty healthily full. And it was great to see a good atmosphere there. Turlasarsis is normally... having a huge following, lads. But there was a great sprinkling of blue and white there. For the neutral, I think Tipperary and Killinall, their supporters as well in the Arena Cup final, they had savvy support, and if anything, were more colourful than the Breen finals, you know. So it was a great whole day overall. But of course, what makes it? The weather and the pitch, yeah. And it was absolutely fabulous day.
Yeah.
And Ken, just ask you about the Turles support again. Like, if you were a young lad that hurls for Turles Og, is Turles Sarsfields, they're a separate club, like, are they? No, they're the huge feeder club for them, obviously.
Well, they're a separate club. And you probably heard that discussed during the week. Turles Og is a separate club set up by the great Pat Stakelam. And I did a few coaching courses for Pat in my time. An absolutely wonderful man. And that Turles Og club was purely set up to promote hurling among the kids in the town of Turles. After that, then, whatever you do, wherever you go, you can go to Turles Gaels Rahalty or Turles Sarsfields or whoever you want to go to. But from their point of view, Turles Og is just a feeder club. They're the juvenile club. And then it's up to you, obviously, where you play. But obviously, Turles Sarsfields would have the majority share of the players.
Right. I often wondered that.
Had the separate facilities, Ken?
Separate facilities, yeah. Durlis Oak there, yeah. Durlis Oak is at the bridge there on the way down at the railway station. Durlis Oak grounds are there onto the left. Totally separate there, and they have their little clubhouse. And Tipperary were often damn glad to use their facilities as well for training in the 80s and 90s before Morris Park came into play. So Durlis Oak have their two or three pitches. Very tidy set up, ball wall, nice little dressing rooms, and totally separate entity, Mark.
Different colours, even, Ken, yeah?
Yeah, red and white, would you believe it?
Red and white, yeah. Red and white.
Yeah, red
colours.
And Ken, yeah. I'm assuming then for an under 17, right, if he plays with Durlis Oak, right, that it's okay for him to play under 19, let's say, with Turles Hart. So effectively, he could be playing with two different clubs.
Correct and right. And Durlis Oak have had a set, they've won 13. 15 and 17 at juvenile level, TJ. And have won the 19 then with Turles Sarsfields have won the 19. But like Turles Gaels have their pitch outside as well. Very proud of what to do. Larry Mackey, the famous Larry Mackey's pub, them lads would be all involved with different clubs and different situations. But it's a great town, but that Durlis Og are doing absolutely tremendous work. And the talent that they're fostering is unbelievable.
Oh, good stuff.
That's phenomenal.
Just to ask you, Ken, with mentors then, like, you know, you're a Durlis Og diehard, let's say, and, you know, you obviously have ambitions maybe to coach and manage at an adult level. Well, like, does there be many lads go up and go off and is it Turles Finlays are there as well, aren't they? And
yeah, Turles Finlays. Yeah, very old club. Yeah. So, and the referee, John Dooley, yesterday for the Arena Cup final was actually Turles Gaels. So tis amazing that the coaches would come in and work with Dúras Óg, and Dúras Óg, that'd be totally different. There'd be totally different AGMs, totally different management committees, selection committees, totally different. Then they feed into whatever the young fella decides, wherever he wants to go, and he goes to Turles Gaels or Turles Sarsfields. That's his decision, independent decision.
Okay, it's handy for Sarsfields, isn't it? Not having to worry about funding the underage, and it's still probably getting the cream of the crop.
Yeah, it's fantastic, but they have a fantastic setup there. And as I said before, it was the brainchild of Pat Stakelam and a few men down the road, because at that stage, Turles hurling was dead. They hadn't won since 74, Jimmy Dial, right down to losing four county finals in a row. So they have struggled to get there, but now they have a phenomenal setup at both juvenile level and a senior level, with Dúras Óg feeding into it.
Yeah, fair play to get to do it all again. It'll be fascinating. I'd say the viewership for the next one, if TG Cahir have it, will be just through the roof. And if not, we'll all be paying our tenors to the Tip County Board, or even maybe go down. It'll be one I'd love to see. Shout out also to my old pals, the Everards, there in Temple Tui. I'd say there'll be a large day in the village with the Intermediate Championship and they going up senior. And now they can concentrate on their course, and now once the hurling is out of the way, I think they actually play Kilmiley.
And they're going up the Premier Intermediate. It's not senior anymore. It's not senior B. There was a big meeting in Turles during the week. So senior B has now been designated as Premier Intermediate, something like Cork lads as well. And so mind him to a fantastic victory. Kilsheenan, very unlucky, I believe. Absolutely wonderful game with a great crowd. And Mind Temple Tuohy, managed by Liam England. And of course, you have the Lides there, great ambassadors for their club. And of course, Garoda Connor and Connor Bowe, potential senior hurlers of Tipperary, coming onto the bigger stage now. So, tremendous victory for Mind Temple Tuohy, and coached by Brian Carroll and Coolderry, and awfully great. So, great sprinkling of talent there, and the backroom team was pretty strong as well.
Yeah, and great hurling people. I said great home people as well, so shout out to them today, and I know they'll enjoy it, and yeah, that's for sure, those lads. but Ken, I know you have to go a bit early on us today, so just to touch on, you're getting ready, Ken, for the big one next Sunday, and hoping that things go according to plan during the week, we don't get locked down or anything in Offaly.
Yeah, really, really, like, it has been a tremendous year, a great Offaly Championship, culminating now in, two giants of Offaly hurling, I suppose, St. Rinus and Coolderry, contesting the final. Coolderry could be going actually for their 33rd county final. They're the kingpins in Offaly of county finals. Fantastic team, and of course, a group of people that I worked with myself and had great times and great things there for 4 years, so... looking forward to the game. We're praying and hoping. We got cut off last year, at the 11th hour. We don't want this to happen this year. Please God, we'll all keep safe, and that the game will go ahead next weekend. Two rural communities, minding themselves and making sure that the biggest day of their lives will culminate in lining out in O'Connor Park next Sunday. Funny enough, I just want to mention, you mentioned about playing your tenor. Offaly County Board were very generous yesterday. The senior replayed Offaly County Final. It was just a tenner to get into the game between Rode and Tullamore. So I thought that was a great gesture. And they got a huge crowd. They got over 5,000 into the replay. And it just goes to show you, the tenner was the attraction. I think it was 15 or 20 the first day, but it was only a tenner to get in yesterday. And they got a huge crowd as a result. So... Smart move by Michael Dagenham and the lads as well, to do that, and a generous gesture.
He's not getting too many things wrong, Michael Dagenham, at the moment. He's going well. But have you a game plan, Ken, for the sprightly Coolderry number 11, Mr. Brian Carroll, doing a lot of damage up there this year?
Yeah, huge damage. I think he scored 3.15 in actually one of the championship games this year. Absolutely on fire, in a marvellous shape. But there's a lot more to Coolderry than Brian. Kevin Connolly inside, and an outstanding forward as well. They play it up very smart. And of course, they have some wonderful hurlers in the Cochranes. And you still have Kevin Brady and Barry Tehan around. And a you know, the one thing about Kildare lads is, like Loughmore Castleany, they keep bringing players through. So from our point of view, we have to have our homework done. We've put in a lot of work in the last 3 years, obviously. We've put four championships into three now because preparing for last year's final, it didn't happen. And didn't play in the 2020 final only last August, 10 or 11 weeks ago. So from that point of view, preparing for our third final in a row now, it's something to look forward to. And we're just hoping that on the day it'll be a great game. And I think it will go to the wire. Two very traditional, strong clubs with great rivalry, good, healthy rivalry as well.
And would you be finding it hard to keep them fresh, Ken, in terms of, you know, all the training and the hang up of missing last year's final and then getting it played? And I know you had a great battle the last day with the double K's. Would you change around things, not to be looking at giving away state secrets this week, but have you found you've eased up on training, or, you know, that you've kept?
Yeah, we would find less is more. We would find less is more. Mm-hmm. The lads are very fresh. The lads are very smart in the way they prepare. I enjoy being involved with them because they take responsibility themselves. They look after their bodies very well. They're freshen up. The Shannon is beside us there to go down and rehab in the Shannon and recover the bodies, get the bodies recovered as well. But they're very conscious of their hydration and nourishing the bodies and looking after the injuries. So from that perspective, like, what more do we want, lads? Wouldn't we love to replay our lives again by playing in big games like that? So, I mean, the carrot is there for both teams, and we won't lack for hunger or inspiration next Sunday, because these things don't, you know, as Theo English would say to me, you know, medals don't come in the post, Ken. You know, you have to go up and earn them.
Yeah. No, he's even been in Cusick Park yesterday and, you know, seen, it's great, of course, to have the band back again as well. And always in Clare, it's the Tulla Pipers. And just to see, you know, the Ballier and Aina Kilnamoyle lads coming around in front of me, and it kind of got, I can't say the hair standing on the back of the head now anymore, but you've got the shivers of all the times, luckily enough, to march behind it maybe 8 or 9 times. And just all those days came flooding back. And unfortunately,
TJ hit the nail on the head there, you know, about the three county finals that we witnessed at the weekend. You know, absolutely savage stuff. And like, even to see Tony Kelly, before I go there, lads, running in, hopping on one leg. He was like a kangaroo flying through the pitch there. And the excitement of winning, lads. And, you know, so disappointed for Kilmona Aina, you know. And obviously, I saw young Aidan there, McCarthy. So he looked pretty broke up before the match, trying to do his warm-up. But that's club fair for you, whether you're injured or limbs are fractured or whatever you have. You've got to go out and try and do the business for your parish and your club. And you sacrifice your body for getting out there and doing it for the people that you represent. And the Dublin County final, lads, you'll talk about there later. But Jesus, what drama and what an enthralling game. And lads, isn't it so hard? It's hard to win a championship. It's so hard to win a championship. And Nafina, who played fantastic hurling, you know, it's such a blow for them. They were almost there, but as I say, that unless you have the cup in the front to see the car, it's not there.
I think it's the psychology of sport, Ken, why it's so important going down the stretch. I was there myself back in 2004. We were trying to win a county and they just plays games. We eventually got there in 2005, but it's just so hard. And I know everyone talks about getting over the line, but it's just literally like slow motion stuff and trying to get over the line. And we had two clubs this weekend who unfortunately suffered that fate. They just couldn't get there. And like, history and culture in the GAA, we talk about it over and over and over again. And that's why these big clubs are so hard to beat on a big day.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
No doubt.
Dello, I watched the Clare final. Incredible, in fairness to the camera work.
You give it.
I gave you 10 on. In fairness, the camera work was very good. And there was a nice camera behind the goals. And even on the terrace, right, it looked like as if Bellier, all their youngsters and kids and supporters were all noisy behind the goal on the left. And Aina had the goal up on the right-hand side. It looked like an incredible atmosphere in the park for a county final. It just looked unbelievable on the stream.
It was brilliant, TJ. And like, I've been critical, and I'm critical again now, I suppose, yesterday of the match being delayed, and such a big day that it shouldn't be delayed, a county final. You know, you imagine you're you're the coach to one of those two teams, and you have your warm up down to the T, like in terms of what the next thing you've thrown with another 15 minutes do we do. But I will say that, like, I was obviously there yesterday, but I've watched a couple of games during the year from Cusick Park, and the camera work on that is nearly the best I've seen, with the behind the goal shots and even the pitch side shots. I don't know if there was some of those yesterday, was there?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Side on, really down. You see a fella right close, as Ken said, about going down near the sideline to see the thuds and hear them. And yeah, that has been, I give him credit for that. It's been hugely successful, do you know. It wasn't an epic game by any means, but again, the whole tension, the whole could Aine Kilnamona win their first one, Ballyhea their third one, and Ballyhea, like, you know, someone told you 20 years ago Ballyhea be collecting their third Kenan Hamilton and Clare, you probably wouldn't have believed them. But again, put the structures in place, both of the clubs, I would say, you know, Ballyhea probably a bit further down the line. But again, after the quarterfinal, when Tony came off the bench, scored 3 points to deny Kilmaley, I suppose it would feel maybe now they could have a championship one. And then to get the news that Tony had to have the surgery that week. If he didn't, there's a good chance he wouldn't play in the round robin in Munster next year. So, and he wasn't going to be any good to Ballyhea anyway. So someone told you that evening that they'd go on and win it without Tony. Tony Kelly up there, I suppose, in the top three players in the country. And to come out as defiantly as they did without their marquee men and drag it out of the fire, like just coming up to the water break, the last water break, they were 4 down. It didn't look like there was a goal coming from anywhere. They made a few changes, and, you know, Aaron Griffin's run taken down and the penalty, and Niall Deasy dispatched it. Even though Patrick Kelly was very unlucky, you know, he got his hurley to it. I thought he had it kept out, but it just the sheer power in it, I think. And from there, although Aine Kilnamona responded brilliantly and got the next 2 points, you just felt Ballyhea's experience coming down the stretch. And you were saying that they're getting over the line, and it is just about getting over the line. But they, you know, you mentioned him off the air, and Ken mentioned him, like Jack Brown was immense in the second half, especially. He was immense all through, I thought. And Gary Brennan, then intercounty football star, like, took it by the scruff of the neck, and they drove for home. And fellow parishioners of ours, and we're gone down the same as ye came down to intermediate. And, you know, we'd have 11 championships won, and you know, it's strange times, but in fairness, you have to take your hats off to them, you know. A great victory for them. And they didn't have Tony on the field, where Aine, the two big doubts were David Fitzgerald and Aidan McCarthy, who'd be two. They probably have three big, along with Jason McCarthy, their 20 players. But the two boys played, although they were hampered, you could see that Aidan's hamstring is gone, and Davy Fitz picked up a knee injury in the semi-final. But they still contributed 1-4 from play, and I think Aidan scored every free until the very last one, which would have levelled it up and brought us to a replay. And Ennis as well just dropped short, just a miss hit more than anything. Thought for a minute someone might get a nick in it and put it in the net. So, yeah, very enjoyable. I'd say very enjoyable on TJ.
It was very enjoyable, but just so people know, that free Aidan McCarthy, it was probably close to his own 45-yard line. Like, it was definitely 8 or 10 yards inside his own 65. It was that far out. And he had nailed an unbelievable one in front of the subs bench, you know, just before us to bring it back to one. Like, so it was brilliant. But I suppose a couple of things were, yeah, it was 3 points in at the final water break, 1-12-12. Like, Tony Kelly's influence around the water break there, Dillo. I know we've spoken about this earlier, about Tony Kelly, the coach, like, right? Like, the attitude he showed, obviously it showed, it transferred to his other team players, because they gave it all, obviously, to try and win this game for Tony. But, like, there's so many players who get injured during the year, whether it be maybe inter-county or in a club level, and they kind of feel sorry for themselves, and they kind of make it all about themselves. But here we have the case of Tony Kelly, who's one of the best players in the country, and he's down there with all these other players, and he's driving them on, and he was such a part of it even still. And as Ken said there at the end of it, I suppose the key thing was the penalty. It definitely was a penalty. I know the referee took a bit of time over it, even into the umpire, but it definitely was a penalty. I'd say the keeper might be small but disappointed. It looked like it kind of went more or less straight down the middle. He got a touch to it, I got early to it, but it just got over the line. But that was huge. And then from there on, like Gary Brennan, I don't know how many balls Dillo he brought out. Some striding him there in the middle of the field, wasn't he? Just driving into it. And then to go back to it, like Jack Brown's inspiration. At centre back, captain in the team, just driving out with ball there in the finish. It was ball after ball after ball, but phenomenal achievement. And I just read afterwards that Bellier, they won the quarterfinal by 1 point, they won the semi-final by 1 point, and they won the final by 1 point. So that'll just tell you a lot about a team who can do that.
And interesting, like Robbie Hogan, he used to play a bit of football with us back in the day. Robbie has managed them now to win two. And Rob would tell you straight away, he's not the most vocal manager. He'd let the coaches get on with their job and he'd stand back and do his job management. But he was interviewed afterwards and he said at the water break, and he was saying a goal down, like, and Kelly doing a lot of the talking, obviously, and taking that role in there. But he said today that we were actually saying, right, lads, we're right where we want to be now. You know, we're within touching distance. There's a score in it, even though 3 points. And the goal, they didn't really threaten the goal outside of the goal, which was a penalty, obviously. But, you know, a lot of teams would be, they'd be roaring and shouting there, wouldn't they? We've all, and they'd be fellas saying, come on, we're not doing enough here. You need to do more. And no, they said, we're right here now. We've 15, maybe to 18 minutes to win this. And we're not going to panic. We're going to win it bit by bit, the next ball. And that's what Hogan said. And thought, you know, that's a great sign of the old experience where maybe the Aina Kilnamona lads, as we said, were the 3 points up. We'll talk about Nafina in a minute as well. They were nine up at one stage. You know, you're looking for the finish line a little bit when you've never done it before. You said that.
It's amazing that Tony Kelly, TJ mentioned him. Like, he was their extra man. So he was their 16th man, TJ. Because 100%. Imagine Tony Kelly, like, the lads would be hanging on every word he said. So, you know, 5 or 6 words from him would be better than a 5-minute team talk from somebody else. And, like, for to be in there among them and to inspire them like that, and for them to go out and finish the job, what an inspiration. Because some players feel, oh, we'll sit back here, we won't get involved. But and I saw Seamus Hennessy with Kilwan as well. He was always driving the Kilwan players on when he got that serious knee injury. And something like Tony, like you harped in on that Tony situation, how he inspired the lads.
Well, Ken, not only like did he give the few words in the middle of the circle, right? Then when he went over to the coach, right, he toured the outside of the circle and he went to 3 or 4 players and he gave them that. Do you know what I mean? And it wasn't to the Jack Browns or the Gary Brennans he went to those fringe players. It was huge as far as I could see at that stage, because just what Dalo said there, obviously he felt the same thing. Where we are, we're in it, and going down the stretch. I suppose they would have probably talked about that. The other thing is the time, I suppose, in games, and we talk about Nafina, as you said. Like, do you know, your tendency when you see 50 minutes on the clock is, right, is there's 10 minutes left. But the actual truth of the matter is, Ken, as you know, is, right, that's probably closer to 14 or 15. So again, yeah, that whole mindset of just getting into players, that when you look up at the clock and you see 50, it isn't just 10 here, right, wait. We have time. There's still the guts of a quarter game here to go, like, so.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, huge, yeah.
And the other thing with him as well, TJ, is a lot of people are saying without Kelly, so that to start someone instead of Kelly, right, that they mightn't have much on the bench. Kane, I know you have to go. Thanks a million.
Great. Thanks, your best luck, lads.
The very best of luck to next week.
Keep us in
luck
next week. Take care.
Best luck, well, yeah.
See you, Ken. Best of luck.
Final.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Talk to you, Ken. The other thing, lads, there, TJ, you were on about with Kelly, like, there would have been a perception around the place that they hadn't that much on the bench. But interestingly, you know, when I was at the far side, but I was watching, as soon as I'd see a sub warming up, TK had the arm around the sub. And, like, Morgan Gary, tremendous when he came on. Martin O'Leary, a massive score. The winning score, in actual fact. And even Angus King, who's been around the block with them, the big lad, he's a monster of a man. Kelly had the arm around them before they came on, and you can imagine, like, you know, some fill up there as well for Kelly saying to you, you're going to do it. And fantastic victory for Bellier. Aina Kilnamona, brave, brave effort, like, you know, I have to say that.
And they've never won it, Dillo, Aina Kilnamona, have they?
No, it was their first time in the final, but they'd be two separate clubs up to, oh God, I should
2008.
Well done,
Mark. I got a brief, Dalo. You know who I got the brief from? The PRO during the week, my old buddy Dave Foody.
Because
he texts me Sunday morning and I text him back, how the nerves? Not good. He said, I can't keep the breakfast down. So he's the PRO in the club. And that just tells you how being in a county final affects everybody in the club, be the chairman, the secretary, the PRO, everybody involved. You know, sometimes you know, the players think it's all about the players, but there are other people that are contributing massively. The backroom staff, all the fellas, the minding the jerseys and all that kind of stuff. They all have jobs and places, and everybody feels the nerves. That's the bottom line. And I know he said to me he'd be in the Ramblers today. You know, if we need a shout out to the lads in the Ramblers today, I know it's a tough place to be. I've lost a couple of county finals myself by narrow margins, but it's a tough place. But yeah, 2008, they formed, they amalgamated. So yeah, Tony Carmody, I suppose, was the big name at the time.
Tony Carmody, yeah, they had a few now, but they'd have been both kind of, I suppose, I now would have been relatively intermediate all the time. Kinemona were a bit up and down from junior A to intermediate, won a couple of junior A's. There'd have been a fair bit of tension, like, not to join, do you know? There'd have been diehards on either side that were against it for a long time. But you know what was huge when they did that, and he was a young enough man at the time. The big men, I suppose, for them back through the years, especially for Kinemona, would have been Fergal Hegarty. And instead of going in and saying he trained the team, which he did, he trained the team a couple of years ago just, and they didn't do great. And obviously, ironically, Hago trained Ballier when they won the Munster Club. So he was a great coach as well. But Hago went in and took chairman, lads, for the first 2 to 3 years. And that was a huge rallying thing back in 2008, 2009. Because, you know, Hago said, look, I'll chair the club. You know, and he wouldn't have had any experience. And you know,
he'd have been a young man then, Anthony?
He would have, like. And the automatic thing maybe you'd say is that Hago trained the team. You know, but no, he says there's a bit more to this maybe than just training the team. And he said, I'll chair the club. And I think that was huge. And they have mopped up at underage. But Ballier, probably the Jack Browns, the Gary Brennans, the Tony Kellys, the James Murphys, Niall DCs, they mopped up as well at underage, but probably did it 4 or 5 years earlier than Aina Kilnamona. And that bit of extra experience now, you know, down the line, you know, the Pierce Lillises and these guys that came in from West Clare and do their hurling with Bellier, they're that bit more, you know, they've played in county finals, played in Munster clubs before, and that just probably got them over the line yesterday. Massive. But everyone in Clare knows that it's so hard to win Clare because reality is it's very evenly matched, whether it's a great championship or a Midland championship. I wouldn't like to say, obviously, the Clare teams do fairly well in Munster, so it's probably a decent championship. But it is hard, as Ken said, like, these days don't come around too often, so the Aina lads will know that you mightn't be in there again next year. You know, Aero Guinness would have felt the double was on for them, and so, you know, they didn't get there, and yet they won the football. But yeah, great win for Ballier and Ballygunner now, and God, they served up an absolute cracker, lads. I think it was 3 years ago down in Ballygunner when Ballier had them beaten all ends up, only a late goal.
Had him beat, kind of came
from a mistake for all the world from Ballier, and that'll be a mouthwater. I'm not sure if it's in Innes or in Walsh Park, but that's one to really, really look forward to. Of course, Kelly won't be back, so from a Ballygunner point of view, but they, Ballygunner, a long time without a big game.
Long time waiting, Anthony. And it is one of the things that county boards have got to look at as the timing of the county finals, because, like, you have the Tipperary one only this weekend, you have the Cork one next weekend. You know, even the Limerick one, TJ has played with a couple of weeks. It does put teams at a disadvantage, having, like, the Wexford one is over, what, 6 weeks, I think, at this stage. It does definitely puts teams at a disadvantage having to wait that long. So,
yeah, and a couple of people we brought it up before about the referees waiting so long, and one lad came on Twitter and he said, contrary to that, everyone is really happy in Wexford with all the dual clubs to play our hurling, then play our football.
Right.
I know Kilmiley will be facing into Mine Temple Toohey now, and Kilmiley have waiting an age for this match, and I suppose trying to organise challenge matches and that kind of thing, and it's not the same though.
I'd say to be a football man now who sent you that text message. I think if you're the referee's hurling and you're waiting a lot, Jesus, there's nothing like, you know, playing a county final and maybe getting a fortnight in, get your celebrations out of the day, get your 3 or 4 days out of it, and then fellas back to the grind to the stone, you know. So I don't know. I'd hate to be waiting that length of time anyway, Anthony, to play in the first round of a Leinster or a Munster. Like,
I'll have to text Skippy Root and see how he feels about the whole thing. He's in charge of the reps. Kildare final, Nace doing the business there, lads. Nace hugely successful underage, as we all know. you know, they go to Fela and they're able to beat the Kilkenny champions and the Galway champions and the double for them there. So huge congrats to them. Lads, the Dublin finals, great. RT, lucky to get in there with the cameras. Great to hear from Owen O'Donnell as well. You know, a current player, really fingers on the pulse. I thought that was a great move to get him in as a pundit with Ryan O'Dwyer, who'd be very close to the scene, obviously, and has gone back to his own club now. But just to mention as well, before we get on to the senior final, a huge win for Fingallians in the intermediate, who Ryan O'Dwyer coaches. So they had a great win over Erin's Isle, and they go up into senior ranks now, up into senior B. So well done to everyone in Fingallians. I know there's a real diehard hurling culture out there, and they'll be thrilled. I remember bringing out the cup out there in 95. I was working in Dublin with the Pink at the time, Mark, and I was brought out, and Vinnie Murphy had brought to Sam Maguire, and we had a large night out there in their club. And as much welcome for the hurling, they were thrilled that both cups were out there on the night. So well done to them. They'll enjoy that for sure. And the rest of the weekend, lads, was really about Crokes. First of all, their B team won the Dublin B. I don't know what they're going to do, whether they'll have two A teams next year, but they beat Castleknock, and that beat them well. And some wealth of talent in Crokes now. You know, they won three minors in a row there under Paddy Linehan and Mick Hines. And there's an awful body of players coming through. And yes, in the senior championship, so lucky in one way to get it to extra time. And then I suppose we're the better team in extra time. But hugely exciting game that you couldn't see them coming back into, Mark.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, I was watching from a distance, Anthony, to be fair. I was out for a bite of grub with herself for the first time in a long time with the kids in the touch, and I could see it in the background, and I knew Nafina were flying, and they were flying early doors, and probably should have closed out the game. Oh, man, Donald Burke was on fire again. But, like, it just shows, and, like, we saw the semi-final. I thought Kilmacud Crokes were well over Coola, and I thought they would probably go on and win the county final with a bit to spare, but Nafina, in fairness to them, were outstanding. They will be kicking themselves, Anthony, they didn't get a result, and they probably, I suppose, at the end of the 60 minutes, they probably said to themselves, you know, Jesus, we've lost a desperate opportunity, because they certainly didn't show up in the extra time afterwards, like, you know. But great result, and I suppose, you know, that man Ronan Hayes, you know, what can you say about him? He is constantly, he's really a very, very good player, and he is a great, great future. And like, it just shows you the level of hurling and the commitment that's in Dublin as well. Like, they brought a magnificent fare to the table on Saturday evening. And, like, if their inter-county team could step up another level and play with what we saw on Saturday night, you know, they certainly could become a force to be reckoned at the Inland Senior Championship. I must say, just, like, they have a couple of quality players in the county at the moment, and it's about getting them all on the right page on the one night, and they could contribute to a Leinster Championship there, and they could beat anyone as far as I'm concerned, Anthony.
Yeah, and I suppose there's been a lot made of maybe Conor Callaghan being such a loss to hurling. He's such a forward, TJ, and you never know, he might decide now with the footballers they're not going for eight in a row or anything like that, so he might just decide to give Matty the year. But to be fair, Ronan Hayes, and I know Ronan well, and it takes players a bit of time, TJ, to mature, you know. And I, if Ronan had missed that penalty, which looked to be decisive, that the game was definitely gone, if he'd missed that 2-3 years ago, the head would have gone down, and I'm not so sure he'd recover. But he has really come of age as a top-class forward, hasn't he? Like, he has it all, really, in terms of the touch, the pace, the height, and really he's, I know, you obviously Oisín O'Rourke and Fergal Whiteley and all drove it on, but Hayes, 114, was really the difference between the two teams.
Yeah, it was massive. And to talk about the two turning points, I did think on 50th minute when Donald Burke gets the goal to put him 9 points up, you are thinking game over here. There's no doubt about that, right? That's the first piece. And you're kind of saying for Nafina, like, I'm sure they'll be soul-searching and asking themselves lots of questions. What could we have done? Could we have put Rushy back to full back? Could we have changed? Could we have dropped more back? They could have done loads of different things, but you probably have to give credit in on the other side. that on the 55th minute, when you thought that Ronan Hayes missed the penalty, you said, well, it's definitely game over now, right? And, yeah, and he didn't even get a point out of it, right? And then he missed a point that he would normally think that he would score shortly after that. And you're kind of saying, like, just to have the mentality to get it back to three and basically give themselves a chance with that last play. And what a goal, what a finish to bring to extra time. But a fantastic game, like in terms of the way the Fianna set up, the way they played, their use of the ball. You know, watching Shawnee Curry score, say, 6 points in play in the first half. I think he finished with 8 in total, 1 point from a brilliant sideline, 7 points.
Seven and a line ball, yeah.
And a line ball in the county final. Incredible player as well. The other thing too, Dylan, this is the point I touched on at the start, is the club game, like in Dublin. Like, it's a very, very high standard now. In fairness, you could see both setups really, really professional. Probably where the inter-county scene was just a couple of years ago. That's why I'm saying about the scope all over the country. It looked to me as if the Kilmacud players all had GPS units still up on the TV. And that's what it certainly looked like. So now, can you imagine, Marco, the likes of Killa and Gary Spillane all having their GPS units and all kind of explained back to them, and some fellas like Donnie kind of looking at them kind of saying, what? Like, it is a shift in preparation. And I even see Johnny Cooper involved with the Fianna with an iPad, Dalo, and again, looked like to be doing the stats for them. And we were kind of nearly saying at home that maybe with 5 or 7 minutes to go, if they brought on Johnny Cooper, that he might have seen it wrong, because he knows how to protect those leads. But I like, you have to give credit to both sides. Great game to watch, great entertainment, and look, lucky that RTE stumbled upon this one, but so much to kind of just be proud of in terms of where Dublin hurling has come, like to be able to deliver that on the big day. Maybe one of the questions you might ask is, should county finals be played under lights? I did see one or two of them getting caught under the lights at one stage, but overall, nothing but positive to say. Just a brilliant game.
Yeah, let's guess about the lights. We're coming down the stretch in Innes yesterday, and I think it was a replay anyway, like tip. But people were speculating. Of course, they're seeing these extra times and places, and saying, that's, how are we going to see a stim here? Because the sun had gone down, the blazing sun. You know, and it's gas. Look, at huge credit to Crokes, and I know they have bigger ambitions. And as you say, Des Earls, who would have worked with me, TJ Whitcroaks, he's still the main man. Obviously, they saw the quality in Des as the physical trainer and kept Des there, and I'm delighted for him and Kieran Dowling and all. Homegrown management, it's great to see as well.
Great to see it, yeah.
And the contrast here being that Ballier have to go to the local in Ballier. There's one pub in Ballier, the local. The Crokes boys have some choice, like between Stillorgan and down to the goat, and Johnny Jock could definitely get a twist off him at some stage. And
but again, the psychology of sport again, Dale. Like, imagine the Crokes, they were beaten, they just for somehow managed to get a draw, and yet the game goes to extra time, and a few minutes later, they're just dominant all over the pitch. It's mad, isn't it?
But as Mark said, I suppose, huge credit to Crokes, and Hayes hit 6 points in that time as well. Unreal, he had taken over the match. But I suppose if you are 9 up with a short time to go, that last huddle before extra time must have been a hard place to be. I was watching it on the TV as well, and you could see Liam Rush trying to bring his, and he's only new to them, so it's probably harder to talk when you're only after joining a club. But you could see Rushy trying to say, it's not gone, we're still there, but very, very difficult to rise it up again, Denmark.
Well, I had one experience of it was 2001 in the intermediate final, Killa versus Mallow. We were 6 points up with 4 minutes to go, and Mallow got a goal in 3 points, and they actually got the last puck of the game, and it went over the top of the upright. And I must say, I thought it was nearly over. It was wave wide. The game finished a draw, but I can tell you right here and now, if the game went to extra time, we were as flat as pancakes. We were gone, like there was nothing left in the tank. And I think that county final was played a week later. Now, we trained the following day on the Monday, and of course we held the Mallow lads, went to the golf club because they had arranged their Monday around the golf club. And I must say, that revved around Killa for the 5 or 6 days for the replay. And we got over the line in a very good performance in the replay a week later. But I certainly know to lose that type of a lead in a 50-50 game, I think it does suck the energy. And TJ has mentioned this about the psychology of players. this is where it counts. Like, you know, this is where you need real leaders to step up. But sometimes when a whole team falls flat like that, you just can't, no matter who's there, they just can't lift themselves, like, you know. But it's a hard place to be. It's a hard place to be when you have your, like, there's no doubt fellas are thinking their hand is on the cup, like, we're going to do it. 9 points up with a short period of time left. And that's what happens, that the fellas stumble. They stumble and they leave it to the next fella and leave it to the next fella instead of saying, lads, keep the foot on the gas, whatever happens. Don't take your foot off it. And it might be a block. It might be just to maybe give away a free sometimes just to take a bit of pressure off. But there's no doubt you can sense it on the sideline and you can sense it on the stand. When the game starts to go away from you and you can't stem the tide, it's a hard, hard place to be for anything.
Yeah, I'm just wondering with the last of dressing rooms and getting in there and kind of getting that little bit more composure as well, Dylan. Like, I think if you were in that position, you'd like to get him in there and kind of sit down and calm things down and maybe just trying to go through some bit of a restructure or maybe stay in the dressing room a bit longer or whatever, you know. I think it kind of it reminds me there of a good couple of years ago when we were playing and we were under the cosh. It was either a quarterfinal or a semifinal. It was half time, and I think the speech happened very quick, and I mean, it was one of the fellas just went to rush. I don't know who it was either Dorian or Frankie or whatever, kind of said, settle down, let's settle down. The longer we stay here, the longer we'll be in the championship.
That's a bit like the parade story, TJ. Yeah, it's the parade. No, we'll get two more off you on the parade. but you're right. And do you know, if there was enough cam heads now, I don't know if I've seen one as dramatic as probably 9 ahead, you know.
Yeah,
but like, you're in the very same position as you were before the match started. If someone could get that, and you said the dressing room maybe was the place to be, then you know that you could really circle the wagons in there and say, look, nothing won, nothing lost. We go again for 20 minutes, and you know. But I think Crokes at that stage could really smell blood, and I suppose from their point of view, Nafina would have taken the hand off you then. I suppose when the final whistle blew, that there'd be a replay. Whereas I'd say Turles were well delighted that that went to a replay yesterday. Oh, it was all Loughmore at the death.
The momentum had totally switched towards Loughmore. If that game went on for another 2 or 3 minutes, I think Loughmore would have won by a couple of points. Like, you know, even though I know Turles got, they were a point up and Turles got 2 to go a point up, but Loughmore was certainly the team on the ascendancy at that stage.
And well done to the Crokes. I'm delighted for them. I obviously know an awful lot of them very well. I'm delighted for them. They're going for the double next week. I think Brian Sheehy is the only, and we had his granddad, Christy Killeen's book launch on Thursday night. Great Clare man. And Brian is affectionately, he was full back, TJ, he was the guy you were inquiring about. He's the only dual player involved. So, and like in Crokes, it's a massive club, as you can imagine, it's massive. Like Crokes, Coola, Bowden, they're huge, huge clubs. And hurling is probably still the but massive hurling people in the club, you know, and delighted for them because so much hard work going on there. And it'll mean so much to guys like Peter Walsh, you know, chairman there, the hurling side of it. Fantastic fella, would do anything for Crokes hurling. And they'll be all on the side of the footballers now hugely for next weekend. So well done there to South Dublin and whatever establishments they adjourn to today. Mark, quite enough weekend in Cork, but a lot of football and fierce drama. But come here, your neighbours, the Father O'Neills, without Jerm Ellerick as well as Decky Dalton, and you were right on the Decky Dalton thing, fair play. And it wasn't even known around Cork, I believe, when we had a drive here last week.
It was a win for
them, like.
That's an unbelievable. I mentioned last week, Anthony, I think, that the fact that they had a week to digest the injury to their main person put the pressure back on all the other players then to pick up do their little bit now for the club, because Decky has been brilliant for Father O'Neill for a long, long time now. He's been brilliant, in fairness, from now. He's carried the cane. He's won more games than anybody else now, I'd have to say.
Look, when we were doing our shows back along in the middle of the All-Ireland, we were saying how much of a loss Melrick was, like, to Cork.
Oh, yeah. Ferocious, for God's sake. Yeah, ferocious, like, you know. But I tell you this much, he, and it's a bit surprising now, because the word on John Melrick that he would have been available, but he must have had a setback, Anthony, because like a couple of weeks ago, John Melrick was available to play. Like, so, you know, and Liam O'Driscoll was also out for Fáil Ronnie's over the weekend. So there are three players, but like Melrick and Decky are extremely important to the team. But I think Bride Rovers will be very disappointed because they probably would have seen an opportunity when Dalton was out that they'd get to a county final. But, you know, I'd say, to be fair, like that county final is going to be on next Sunday now. And it's a big ask. I suppose Kentuck are in the final as well. And a great trial of them to get back to a county final. And Anthony Nash, I suppose, hauling away in Limerick, like, you know. And they're also involved in football as well, Kentuck. So,
see that, yeah.
Like, you know, it's amazing how the dual clubs, they're able to keep both going. And it's a great tribute to them now, in fairness as well. But, like, it's the two senior finals, should we say, the Senior A and the Premier Senior Finals are on next Sunday. Don't think there's any real confirmation yet. We know it's going to be a minimum of €20, but that's good value if there's €20. I just hope the county board won't go to 25 now or more, like, you know, for both county finals. Just leave it at £20, as Michael Dignan did above. If you price it right, you will get people. And I just hope they'll also, I think they're going to, you know, the frontline workers, I think that's going to happen as well. But I just love, would you ever just go, if it's going to happen, announce it, right? And, you know, get some media out around that as well, because people need to know in advance. Give them a week's notice. No point in sending this on Friday that there's going to be, you know, 2,000 free tickets for frontline workers. Let them know on Monday as soon as possible. Get people, get them organised, get them there now. The one thing that people are probably small bit given out about is that the first match is 1 o'clock and the county junior final is on Saturday and it's 1 o'clock as well. Like, if you're trying to promote the game, I think a 1 o'clock fine county final on a Saturday isn't great timing in my view now, like, you know, because a good amount of people do work on a Saturday, like, you know. And even on Sunday with the lights in Parky Cueve, there's no reason why that game couldn't be 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock. You know, like, if you're going to the first final, you nearly have to be up, kind of. You'll be nearly have the spuds there at 12 o'clock in the morning to be at the match around for 1 o'clock. So I just think, look, it is what it is. But, you know, I think we could make it easier for the punter paying in and from a time point of view. But look, we are there now and it's great. And just talking about the excitement, just to digress a little bit, you probably saw about Castlehaven and the Bears over the weekend. It went to extra time, so draw, extra time, and penalties. And John Kern's son, John, had the last penalty, the goalkeeper, and nailed it. But they played each other as well last year, a draw, extra time, and penalties. And Castlehaven won that. So after two matches, two extra times, and, you know, you're still levels on board of them, like, you know. So it's fantastic, but it's great as well. You know, it's just a great promotion of the sport as well, with hurling and football, and just that the club game, lads, and we're all delighted that the club game is getting its pride of place now. That's the important thing, because without club players, you won't have inter-county players. And that's the big thing with the split season. You need to promote the club as best you can. And having your inter-county players, having them available to train in the club championship is just super for the club player.
Brilliant. NGA TV, Mac.
I'd be all for it, TJ. I'd be all for it.
Did I shout out to Caroline, who won the junior championship in Limerick as well over the weekend, and good win for them. They're back up to intermediate. And I was going to say, is there a better day around the country than Monday after winning a county title? Did I? It's just special in parishes and clubs and pubs. It's just a different day, isn't it? The Sunday night can often just be a bit manic, and in the Monday's magic, which huge, I think, potential in the club game. I agree with Mark there. I said it already. I think that this could go higher and higher. When I see the Kilmacuds with GPS units and all that, just the potential and scope for all the clubs now, they will be trying to push the board out, but just massive. And that passion, man. I was going to say, if anybody wants to know what it's like, if you want to look on social media, Dan Skelton over the weekend, right? Roaring his brother home, winning the Great Wood Hurl, Harry, right? That's what it means. Like, when you're involved in the sideline or involved in a club and you're trying to get them over the line.
He was the trainer as well, Dottie Jen.
No, Dan was the trainer.
Harry was the rider.
It was in Dan's interest for him to be booting him home too, like.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No, but
was that Newby and Ebra or West Cork? Some name for a horse in it.
That was West Cork. But the point I'm trying to make here, Dillo, is when you have invested, he was a trainer, when you have invested interest in a team or a club, right? Or let's say you have a sibling playing or a family member playing, right? And you're trying to get a team or a horse over the line, right? And literally, you just want to win nearly more than you can breathe, and your heart just pumping through your chest, right? It's just unbelievable to get over the line. It's just that feeling. Yes. And you just have to feel sorry for the teams who just have come so close and they didn't get there. It's incredible. So close.
Yeah. Unbelievable. And Mark, how are you calling? How are you calling the little All-Ireland?
The little All-Ireland. It should be a very big All-Ireland, I can tell you, by the time next Sunday comes around. So as we rightly said, the last, the Glen will start as favourites, and they're hot favourites, but I think for most of the neutrals on the ground, they see it as being a 50-50 game, Anthony. There's no doubt there's class players on both sides. Men made a point to me this morning. Every kid, you know, and he said you were dead right on the pod or on the live streaming that the county board should be going out to the national schools, both in Middleton and the north side of the city around the Glen, and give him, you know, a free ticket to get in and to advertise it, because, you know, the likes of Patrick Hogg and Conor Lehan, the Rob Downies, right, these players on view, but particularly Hoggy. Like, we mightn't see these likes again. It's like the Kellys, the TJ Reeds. So these young lads need to see their heroes and see the best players in the game, because, you know, as Ringo always said, probably the better players are still to come and will come. But you need to start off someplace, and promoting the game and bringing lads to matches is the most important thing. So, I look, it's been an up and down year in terms of results in Cork. I would say you look back at the semi final, the two hot favourites were done in the semi final. Go back to the quarter final, Imakili were hot favourites against the Glen, and they did them. The Glen have got over the line by a pint and 2 points in the last three matches. Like, if Middleton, you know, so they've shown great resolve to get over the line. If Middleton can hold Huggy, that'll be their first job. So deny him the ball going in number one, and when he gets it number two, if, you know, if Huggy ends up scoring 4 points from play, he'll probably get 6 or 7 or 8 from freeze. That's 12, you know. They'll probably get 116, 117 over the course of the match. I think Middleton will fancy their chances, because if it's a high-scoring game, I think Middleton will possibly have more forward power than the Glen. But if it comes down to a battle, there's no better team than the Glen to eke out a victory in the
battle. You're fucking going on there and you're sitting on defence. Will you just call the match as well? Yes, if this is
you're giving me no out for next Monday morning.
Just call it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the underdogs, I must say. So I'll be going with Middleton in this one.
Okay.
Obviously Sean O'Leary here is taking up Hoggy, will you?
There is a strong view that Middleton will pick their 15 and play their 15. So Sean O'Leary here said wing back to Leicester. Personally, I would be putting Sean O'Leary Hayes on Huggy, because I think if Huggy gets enough ball, he could rattle in 2 or 3 goals. And they were like, the Glen were brilliant in the county final last year against Blackrock, and they have a similar team, you know. So it might be disingenuous on one hand to say that they mightn't score more than 117, but they were brilliant in the final. They cut loose, like Simon Kennefic cut loose last year in the county final. So they have that ability to do it, but just that the results this year have shown the kind of the scoring, I suppose, the scoring hasn't been particularly high, Anthony. But like, yeah, I would be putting Sean O'Leary here probably on him, or Luke Dineen. It's one or the other. Luke Dineen has played fullback nearly most of the games this year, but Patrick Hogan is a different animal. He's a brilliant, brilliant player. But like Tommy O'Connell at centre-back, so one of the ways to cut out maybe that ball going into him, they might leave Tommy O'Connell sit back and maybe mark the D, and he was very, very good for them in the semi-final, and he supplies great ball into the forwards. And like, obviously, you know, you look at the three lads up front. You know, Buzang has been outstanding. Got 1-4 again in the semi-final, 4 points in the quarter-final. And then you have Luke Farrell, who's been really, really good. But the Glen have very good backs. The two Downey brothers have been outstanding, along with Brian Moylan in the half-back line. And then you have Stephen McDonald, full-back. So, Anthony, it's going to be a real, real cliffhanger, I would say. And it wouldn't surprise me if that game could go to a draw either. So, we'll just have to wait and see.
It's not on TV either, Adela, is it?
Cup
final? I don't think so, I think.
I think the word is that the Irish Examiner have actually got the live streaming rights of it, TJ, from what I can gather. I think both RTE and TG Cahar may have been looking for it, but there's a really good relationship has been struck up between the examiner and the county board. And
two football games on TG4, I think, next week. I saw there of the weekend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but anyway,
you'll be on duty, Matt.
Oh, yeah, well, I haven't got the call from the gaffer yet, but, you know, I'd be hoping that we'll be there in the measure, you know. And after the county board tried to take the free pass for All Ireland winners off of us, they overturned that there again. So I won't have to pay, hopefully,
either way.
But I wouldn't mind.
And we want everybody down there in Cork to know that Matt tips Middleton, just so he is aware. Yeah?
I go Middleton as well, TJ.
Well, I'm going to Glen, so hug you all there.
Yeah, the Clare County Board took my 15 quid off me yesterday anyway, I have to say. I didn't get any pass in the post, so.
Are you serious? Maybe. And you won two of them?
Yeah.
Two of them, yeah. Get me into the football final as well.
No, in fairness, it's a brilliant gesture from the Cork County Board. Is that any All-Ireland winner has a free pass for life. And I used to get them
definitely posted out at one stage, but I think...
But we have a pass for life. Now you just go up to the gate and you're allowed into any club match in the county, which I think is a fantastic gesture from the county board. And like most of the people, 90% of the lads that they would have played with you and you, TJ, or myself, They're contributing something back to the club or the intercounty team, and there's 90% of the lads are doing something. So it's a small gesture, but it does go a long way over a 20 or 30 year period. Like,
yeah, I think it was passed in Clare, all right, but you had to send in a passport picture and things like that, and I decided
in case they didn't know you or something. There, was it?
They mightn't recognise you, is it?
Yeah, I went back to my youth the weekend on Saturday night. I went to a 21st.
How did that go, TJ?
It went very well. I was going to say I feel sorry for you publicans in trying to manage those type of things going forward. But two of our brighter stars in Gary's plan, young Dylan O'Shea, who's my wife Louise's nephew, and Ryan Tobin, two of them are 21. So good party, but... yeah, some interesting viewing. my wife was trying to tell me that I'm probably over age for 24, but I'm saying that. Never over age.
I know. They're hard enough nights. They're good nights when they're all over and nothing has gone wrong. But two good lads, Dylan and Rainey, I know the two of them from the academy. Yeah. Great lads, great talent. So two that you'll be looking to lead you to senior glory 100%. Great stuff, so lads. We have that massive little All Ireland to look forward to next weekend. The Wi-Fi has improved.
Yeah,
it was the laptop ran out of juice.
thanks again to the listeners for those donations. Yeah, to get Dale up and running. We could hear him loud and clear today.
Fair play. And we have that massive Galway semi-final as well to look forward to. You said Sunday, TJ, did you? Rather than
it's
Saturday.
More likely going to be on Sunday. I think it's going to be fixed today officially, but the likelihood is it'll be on Sunday at the Rye, which would be the usual, which would be great.
Great stuff, lads.
Okay. Top class.
A grain of rice is going to tip the scale. Just remember that, lads.
There's a small bit of a needle there.
Now, come on, Mayo. You've got to get Andy Moran into the game.
We're missing what the show is. Then we're no longer the